All right, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. All right. It's good being here today with you. Just want to thank Pastor Owen for the invitation to share a little bit about what God's doing in my church community and also just fellowship with you. I think it's so good to be reminded of how God's working, not just in my own little local setting, which sometimes feels like the world to me, but just being outside of my church community and fellowshipping with you and hearing what God's doing here at CCPC, it's been a true blessing. And I appreciate Pastor Owen so much because he does have a heart for partnership and collaboration with other pastors in this region. And so just want to thank you, Pastor Owen, for the invitation. As he mentioned, I just want to briefly update or kind of talk about what God's been doing in my church, and then I'll share the message today. If there's one thing that God's been kind of pressing upon my heart and my church community, it's about evangelism. And we want to be a church that's not just about our own church people, but we want to be mindful of people who are outside of our church walls, people who are struggling, broken, far from God. But oftentimes it feels daunting for us to, or for me to, think about how do I share Jesus with these people whom I know are struggling. And so when we talk about evangelism, it's been hard. So this past year we came up with a phrase, we call it BLESS practices. And so the word BLESS is an acronym. And so B stands for begin with prayer. And so we tell our church people, hey, you know people in your life who are far from God. Just begin to pray for them. So for me personally, Wednesday evenings, I set aside that time to pray for them. I have a list of probably about 10 people that I just go through and pray. I know they're struggling, they're far from God, they don't know the gospel, they don't know Jesus, they don't have life in Christ, so I pray for them. So B's begin with prayer, and that's we can all do that, right? And then L stands for listen. So rather than, because sometimes we think, I need to share the gospel, and we just kind of look for an opportunity to share about Jesus, but blessed practices is about like beginning with prayer and then listening to people. You're like just the posture of listening, and you're genuinely curious about people and their story. And so you're asking questions, like, where are you from? How did you get into this field? And you're just getting to know them, and then that leads to letter E, eat together. I mean, that's something that we do all the time in our culture, right? We eat with other people, we get a cup of coffee, we meet at Starbucks, and so we're just eating with people. And then first S there is, you're serving, opportunity comes, people are struggling, and they might open up to you. We begin to serve them, we allow them to serve us. And then the last S, second S there is, you begin to share your story. And as you share your story, story of Jesus comes out. And so we've been doing this for about a year now. And out of all the things that I've done, and I've been in my church for 15 years, out of all the things that I've done, I think this has been most impactful and fruitful in our church community. So in our church setting, before we have our elders meetings and small group leaders meetings and all of these meetings, we set aside 10, 15 minutes and we say, hey, who's on your blessed list? How are you reaching out to your neighbors? And it's been amazing. Like these elders whom, you know, they're faithful, godly people, but it's been hard for them to reach out. But now they begin to talk about how they had dinner with their neighbor. You know, they had a cup of coffee with their coworker. And it's been amazing. So I think what we're after is we're after not steps towards like evangelism, but we want to shift our church culture. Like this is normal for us. And because this is something that everyone can do. Blessed practices, and it's been really helpful. And so that's actually what I want to talk about today. And so if you have your Bibles with you or devices, please turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We'll read from verse 27 to verse 32. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. After this, he, that's Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to them, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, what do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is God's word. You know, when we have passages like this, it's pretty common, isn't it? You when you read the gospel, any of the gospels from the beginning to the end, you see Jesus eating with people. You can think about Jesus' first miracle. He goes to a wedding banquet, and he turns water into wine so that the party or the banquet can go on. The last thing that Jesus does before the crucifixion is what? Jesus has a meal with his disciples. He breaks bread with them. In between, he's constantly eating with people. He's getting invited to weddings, and he's getting invited to dinner parties like Levi's, and he's constantly eating and drinking with people, so much so that the religious leaders, like, they look at what's happening and they call Jesus a drunkard and a glutton. Now think about that. I mean, that's how they describe Jesus. He's a drunk and a glutton. Now, obviously, this is not true, but I think it does tell us, like, Jesus' life and what his ministry was about. He constantly ate with people and drank with people, and that's what Jesus did. So today, I just want to ask us a simple question as we look at this passage. Why is Jesus' life and ministry filled with eating with others? Because that's what we read in the Gospels. So I want to give us three things. Number one, Jesus' meals are signs of divine welcome. Let me say that one more time. Jesus' meals are signs of divine welcome. When Jesus starts out his ministry, he goes to a synagogue and he reads a scroll from Isaiah. And this is what he says. And this is how he starts out his ministry. Okay, this is from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And he's quoting Isaiah, right? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He says he's come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That word favor in Greek, it means actually like welcome, like it's invitation. And so as Jesus starts out his ministry, he's saying, I'm here to proclaim that now is God's welcoming season of his welcome. He's displaying the heart of God that says, you are now welcome here in my presence. And we do this today too, don't we? Like when we invite someone to meals or a cup of coffee, we're saying, I want you to come into my life, right? I want to get to know you. This coming Thursday, my wife and I invited some people from our apartment to have dinner with us. And, you know, I texted them a few weeks ago and they responded right back. They said, "Oh, that sounds great. We'll be there, Steve." I mean, typically that's how people respond, because when we have meals together, we're inviting them into our life. We were saying, I want to get to know you. I want to befriend you. I'm curious about what's happening in your life. And that's what Jesus here does. He's proclaiming that now is time for God's invitation to you. Like Jesus is here displaying the heart of God. And we actually see this in scriptures, the very beginning. Genesis 1, when God creates Adam and Eve, he places them in the garden and he says, you see all the fruit and plants, this is your food. I mean, it's a way for God to say, I am here to welcome you into my presence. I'm going to walk with you a fellowship, and I'm here to provide for you. We move on to the book of Exodus. Even when God's people are in sin, they're wandering in the desert for 40 years. What does God do? I mean, he provides manna and quail for 40 years. What is that? That's heart of welcome. He's saying, even though you're in sin and you're in the wilderness, I am with you. I'm a God who wants to provide for you. And even when God establishes the laws, I mean, he has all these yearly celebration and feasts. Why is that? It's so that when people gather to feast and eat, they're supposed to remember God's faithfulness. And then in the prophets come and talk about how one day God will completely, fully welcome his people into his presence. So this is from Isaiah 25. Isaiah, the prophet says, thinking about the future banquet, future welcome that's for God's people. He says, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces and the reproach of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I mean, this is the future picture of God's people with God, right? I mean, you guys know this. The book of the Bible ends with a banquet, right? That we are in God's presence and there will be a feast. And that's sort of the prophecy. So when Jesus comes in and he's eating with people, it's a sign. He's saying, one day God will fully, completely invite you into his presence, but I am here now to demonstrate, point you to what is to come. It's a heart of invitation and welcome from God, Jesus' ministry. And that's why Jesus is eating people constantly. So that's number one. Number two, Jesus' meals are signs of divine welcome, and everyone and anyone is welcomed. Everyone and anyone is welcome. Who is Jesus eating with here? He's eating with tax collectors and eventually they say sinners. And people, the Pharisees and the religious leaders are appalled. And you know this. Why are they appalled? Why are they upset? Why are they questioning why Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners? Well, because tax collectors were considered traitors. Or they collaborated with the Roman government to cheat their own people so that they can get rich. And so when Jews saw them, they saw them as traitors. They did not want to associate with them, especially for a respected rabbi like Jesus. I mean, this was unthinkable. But here's Jesus eating and feasting and celebrating with them. I mean, I was thinking about something like this. Imagine people that you like really don't like. You don't say out loud, but just in your head. Just think about someone that you might, oh gosh, for whatever, his personality, or you just think about who they are, okay? And then let's say you're out and about and you see Pastor Owen like fellowshipping and eating with your enemy. How do you feel? Like, what? Pastor Owen, how could you do this? I think that's something like that's happening here. The Pharisees are saying, how can Jesus be eating with our enemy? Not only that, but Jesus is eating with the other, and eventually they say they're sinners. And they are people who are considered morally and ceremonially unclean. And so in the Jewish culture, you could separate everything into those who are clean, the holy things, those are good, clean, and those are unclean. And so when Jesus here is eating with sinners, they are people who, like lepers, whom Jesus just healed earlier in the chapter, people who are broken, demon-possessed people. And Jesus is eating with these people, and the religious leaders are appalled. They can't believe a rabbi would eat with tax collectors and sinners. But here's the thing, right? This is good news. Jesus came, he says it here, right? He came for those who are sick, those who are weak, those who need to be healed. He says, I haven't come for the righteous, I come for the sick, the unrighteous, the sick. And what that means is the way into fellowship with God is to recognize how poor we are, right? Jesus says, those who are poor in spirit will enter the kingdom of God, right? It's recognizing that I don't have it all together. And that's a good thing, friends. Like, we spend all of our life trying to build a resume that'll make us feel like we're someone. But the gospel says, no, when you can recognize how broken and bankrupt you are inside, that's when you hear God's invitation to you. About a month ago, I was at a retreat, and I saw something that I hadn't seen before in any of the conferences and retreats. I was there speaking to, it was a small church, but at a seminar, they had a seminar, and the seminar was called something like sharing your failures or something like that. Typically, like when you attend seminars, you know, it's experts come up to the front and they tell you, here are the things that you need to do to improve or to get better. Well, this seminar was about sharing your like worst failures as people. And so there were six adults up in the front, people from like 40s to I think the oldest was like mid-60s. And they just shared about like their worst failures. And the idea was they wanted to impart wisdom and experience to the younger people, like high school students, college students, young adults. And so they talked about failed marriages, failed financially, somewhat failures. I mean, a lot of like really brokenness. They were very vulnerable, and I was so blessed. And one lady came up and talked about how when she went to college, that she grew up in a terribly broken home. Currently, her mom's in jail. I mean, she just grew up in a horrendous situation. So when she went to college, she was just empty, and she was seeking for something. And so she latched onto one boyfriend after another. She had multiple sexual partners. And by the time, I think she said she was like a sophomore, she was addicted to drugs and pornography. And one day, her body just started to break down. And so she ended up in the hospital, in ER, and she was there for about a week. And she said in the hospital, as she's there, she expected like people to visit her, but no one visited her. So she's there by herself, like her physically breaking down, emotionally just all over the place. And after she was discharged, she said she's just sort of wandering on a campus, like without really knowing where to go or what to do. And she said this classmate, whom she didn't really know that well, like he invited her to his like Bible study small group. And she said she only went because like she just needed to see people, meet people. And so she attended, and slowly after 2 years, she got baptized. Currently now, when I met her, she was a mom of two little girls, good, healthy marriage. She's serving the church. But when she shared that, I just thought, man, this is whom Jesus came for. Like, the gospel welcomes anyone and everyone. And what that means then is, like, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, like, you know, what you're going through currently, like there's an invitation for you. I mean, that's why the gospel is so beautiful. I'll share a little bit more about what I'm sort of doing at my apartment, but I remember talking with a friend, he's a Muslim background, and we're talking about two things that he couldn't really figure out. One was the Trinity. He's like, what is this? You know, and the second thing was grace. And he said that, man, in Islam, it's really simple. Like, you try to be a good person, and you're good with God. And he's very devout, very sincere person. But the gospel is not that, right? It says we can't get there on our own. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we are, how successful we are, like, we're broken inside. And that's why the gospel is good news. We, no matter where we are, who we are, we say yes to Jesus. And what we do every Sunday at CCPC at my church is we're hearing God's invitation weekly. I mean, that's what call to worship is, right? God is inviting his people into his presence. When we come to the table soon, the communion, and that's what we're doing. We are being invited into his presence. And we're getting fed spiritually. We're celebrating him. So weekly, we get to be invited in. We say yes to Jesus. So big yes once, right? We turn. We say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you, leave everything behind, like Levi. But weekly we come and we say, Jesus, I hear your invitation again, and I say yes to you again. I say yes to you in a fresh way. The little things that I'm holding on to, I say no, and I turn, and I hear your invitation, and I say yes. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, right? That's a Christian life. I think it's Martin Luther who said all of Christian life is faith and repentance. You're constantly churning. You're constantly churning to Jesus. And we get to do that weekly. Praise God. All right, so Jesus' meal is a sign of divine invitation to anyone and everyone. So let me just, before I talk about my third point, I mean, if you're here and you're struggling, you feel like an outsider, you're broken, you're empty, My invitation is for you today. Because that's what Jesus came, right? That's what he tells us here. He says he didn't come for the righteous. He came for the widows, the poor, the demon-possessed, the leper, right? He came for those who are broken, and the invitation becomes and sounds beautiful if you're in that position. Or number three, Jesus' meals are signs of invitation, a divine welcome, and we are called to invite others. Now, I love this passage. I mean, it's a really short passage, but it's Levi, who was a tax collector, and he hears Jesus' call. And when the passage says Jesus saw a tax collector named Levi, the word saw means it's like seeing someone with purpose, right? And so here's Jesus calling Levi, and we don't have too much information here, but you could imagine Jesus calls Levi, and Levi hears Jesus' call, and something changes. I mean, he hears not only someone calling him and seeing him as a tax collector, but someone seeing him as who he is. Like all the emptiness and brokenness that he senses inside, Jesus calls his name. He says, yes, Jesus. And the passage says he leaves everything behind and begins to follow him. But that's not where the story ends. The second part is following Jesus, being with Jesus is so beautiful, so precious. What does he do? He says, Jesus, I'm going to throw a big, great feast for you. You're the guest of honor, but I'm going to invite my friends. Right? You can imagine Levi thinking, right, oh my gosh, I found what I've been looking for. I have friends, other tax collectors. They need to meet Jesus. And that's what he does here, right? Levi invites his friends, tax collectors and sinners, and throws a big, great feast. And Jesus is there. And he's wanting them to meet and hear from Jesus, hoping that some will hear his beautiful voice and say yes to him. About 2 years ago, when my last child went off to college, my wife and I were thinking and praying about, you know, are there things that God might be asking us to do during this season? They're out in college. And so after like some discussion and prayer, we came across an organization called Apartment Life. Their vision is blessing apartment communities or seeing transformation apartment communities through Christ. Really simple. And make long story short, my wife and I said yes to this opportunity. And so currently, we are what they call apartment life coordinators in an apartment complex called Lumen. It's right off of, it's right Pisces Corner, and it's right across Greensboro Metro stop. And we said yes because we just thought that this is something that we sense God kind of leading us to do. And like my wife is pretty, like she doesn't like change. She's pretty reserved. So when she said, all right, Steve, let's do this, I said, wow, okay, this must be from the Lord. You know, and so we jumped in. And so what we do is we host 2 events per month. It could be the last thing that we did was July 4th weekend. You know, we had people invited people, had a party. There's alcohol involved, you know, that's okay. PCA Church, I think Pastor Owen approves, I think. Anyways, you know, people came, had a good time, and out of these events, we build relationships. We get to know them, and we could kind of sense, like, who's open. And so we begin to pray for them, get to know them, and it's kind of natural because, you know, I would ask them, hey, what do you do for a living? And they would say, oh, you know, I work for this IT company. And they would ask me, what do you do? Like, I'm a pastor. And usually they go, oh, you're a pastor. But that gives me an open door. And so we begin to talk. And we invite them to church. A person from Muslim background came to our small group Bible study. It was really good. It was good for my small group to interact with him. Multiple invitations to our church. 5 people came to our Easter service. And like kind of through some connections, one guy got baptized this past year. But the beautiful thing is just me meeting people. And so I have some pictures I want to show. So let's maybe take a look at that. This has been really helpful for me because, you know, I think Pastor Owen would agree, like being a pastor, it's, there are a lot of challenges, but I think one challenge is we don't get to interact with like non-church people that often. A lot of our energy is focused on how do we help shepherd our church community. And so this has given me some just natural opportunities to interact with people. And it's been amazing. People, this is my conclusion after a year, and we'll do it for another year, possibly another 2 years. But my conclusion is people are all the same. They're created by God, and there's a hole and emptiness in their soul. And they're looking and searching. It doesn't matter if you're, I don't know, Koreans or just the people from all over, exactly same heart. I'm looking for something. Recently, there was a guy in our apartment who committed suicide. I didn't know him personally, but after this happened, I went to the management and I said, hey, can I help? And the manager looked at me and said, she wanted to kind of be discreet and didn't give out too much information, but she said, you know, unfortunately, things like this are not that uncommon in apartments like this. Lumen is pretty well off. I mean, it's people are well off. Like, they're successful. And what she was saying was even places like this, when outwardly it seems like people have it all together, inwardly, there's pain, brokenness. Friends, like, you have the opportunity to love people. And evangelism seems daunting. I totally get that. But loving people, blessing them, beginning with prayer, listening to people, eating with them, serving them, and sharing your story, oh, that's natural. All of us can do that. But it takes intentionality. It's just saying, okay, I'm going to live for something that's greater than myself, my comfort, my own time. And you're using your resources, time especially, to connect with people. You all have neighbors and coworkers and friends who are far from God. Can my church, can we be more like Levi? Well, we experience the call of God that's beautiful, that's life-changing, life-giving. And then we, in turn, invite others so that they can experience the gospel and God's love for them. All right, let me pray for us. And then Pastor Owen will come up and lead us into communion. God, it's hard for us to imagine your like welcoming, inviting heart for us, especially when we feel so weak and dirty and broken and empty often. But in Christ, you are inviting us in to be with you. And so we pray, Lord, today and every day and every Sunday that we would say yes to you again and again and again. And we pray that we won't stop there, but Lord, give us heart of Levi where we go out and invite others so that they might have the opportunity to meet you, Jesus. We thank you for life. Thank you for your goodness towards us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve.